This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
We've got a guest today.
Do we?
Oh, yes.
We have a guest?
We do have a guest.
Is this a tea-related guest?
Possibly.
All right, spill the tea. Who is our guest?
Joan Liu is our guest today, and she's from Gotcha Fresh Tea.
Hi, guys.
Morning. No, afternoon.
Yeah,
welcome to the Escape Hour.
Yes.
Joanne, tea. You've made a life out of tea. Spill the tea. What brought you into this hot beverage or sometimes cold beverage world?
Well, because, like, I'm actually really a big fan of tea, and because, like, tea is actually more of, like, I drink tea every day. And then that's where, like, I get into to know more about tea, where it's actually, like, healthy and benefit, and then for my own self. And at the same time, like, it's actually, like, a trend right now throughout, like, the world, like, even Australia right now. That's why, like, I love it.
What do you think has changed and made tea so fashionable so quickly and so globally? Do you think it's the acceptance to modern Asian culture through K-pop, J-pop, anime, that people have looked to what else comes with that? Or do you think it's something different?
I think it's sort of like everything, where, like, because tea in traditional, it's more of like tea with the hot water, and it's more of like just a normal thing. But then now people start to put in like toppings and all the kind of stuff, and like, you know, cheese foam right now, it's like a big trend. And then together, yeah. So it's kind of like it's more fun than like just a traditional like natural benefit.
You were saying that traditional mind is that it's hot.
Yeah, hot tea.
And do you think the trend is cold? Or not? Or mixed?
It's a mix, I would say.
What do you think the hottest trend in tea is?
At the moment, I think that it's like the fresh tea and on top with the cheese foam. A lot of people
explain
cheese.
And take us right through this process, because people are going to struggle with the idea of cheese and tea.
Yep. So a lot of people would think that cheese and tea is actually a worst idea ever that you can have.
Well, so, when you talk about cheese, I picture a slice of brie or a little bit of camembert and maybe
Stefan's French.
Yeah, and so, like, because Gotcha, the way we make it is, like, we use the real cheese, cream cheese that we have, and then we, like, mix it together with other creams and all that, make it, like, smooth and creamy, and that's how, like, actually very, like, it suits with the fresh tea and makes it, like, creamy and natural at the same time. Like, it's just very, it's salty, but then with the tea, it's a little bit sweet. It kind of just match. I don't know how to describe that, but it's just like when you try it, it's the weird the first time when you have it. But then once you get used to it after that, it's actually like just very addictive.
What's the technique to drinking it?
So I think there's two way. First, like, people will tend to just mix it and then just drink it like that. But then for myself, I love to drink it from like the tip of the mouth, like where you just have a first sip of the cheese first. And it's like, wow, it's so creamy. And then after that, I got sick of the taste. And that's why I put a straw in and I just like kind of sip the tea out first and then together with the cheese.
So you mean it floats on top of
tea? Yeah, it will float on top of tea.
So what's a good kind of tea to have underneath it? What complements cheese?
So I think green tea would be good, because like green tea is like not as strong as black tea, I would say. So it's more of like refreshing. And then some tea, like for example Four Seasons that we have, it's floral, so like at the same time you don't only taste like just green tea, but then you taste a little bit of like the sweetness and the floral taste of it at the back when you have it. So it's very like soothing and relaxing when you have it.
So, have you tried this tea?
The cheese or
cheese tea?
No, I haven't. I must say, I don't think I've ever tried a bubble tea, any of these teas. I haven't tried. I'm not a big fan of flavoured teas.
Stefan, we've got a whole show for you to listen to. You will try one after this.
Yeah.
I'm more of a kind of black tea with a little bit of milk. Traditional.
It's because you lived in the UK for so long.
I lived in the UK for a little bit. And so in the cream cheese tea, does it still have a little bit of sugar for the tea part? Because you said it's quite salty at the top. So when you dive into the tea itself.
So people can actually like change the sugar level based on like their own, like whether they like it sweet or not. But tea by itself actually has its own sweetness. Mm. So together, it's actually very a good combination with it. Although it sounds weird, I would say.
I've tried
it. You have tried
it.
And what's the verdict?
I've tried it twice. The first time I realised it was going to be an acquired taste, and I hadn't acquired that as yet. So I thought, I'm not going to be put off. I'm going to try it again. And I did try it again, and I did exactly what Jiren, you were describing, is you have a first sip with a bit of the tea. And it's actually quite surprising because there's an underpinning sweetness and some temperature to it. Mm. And I think cheese tends to change its flavour profile when it's heated.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have that sort of same feeling of fattiness to it.
Yes.
And the sweetness from the tea underneath. And I did have green tea because that's what I was recommended, because I asked them, all right, first time here, what do I do that's going to make me deal with this?
Yeah, confused.
And they basically said exactly what you said, is the green tea has a nice combination with it, and here's a straw, do this. And it was a paper straw, so we were worried about the turtles at the same time. So it was a very good experience.
Love listening to Joy podcasts? Why not volunteer for our program production team and help us reach a greater audience so more people can enjoy our fantastic LGBTI content? Email me, Pete, to find out more. ppc@joy.org.au. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
We've been talking cheese tea.
Cheese tea, yes.
So, and we're going to talk about other things.
Are we?
We're going to spill the tea on the beautiful country of Malaysia. We're with Joanne. Joanne, you are from Gotcha Tea. You've made tea your life. But you've originally...
From Malaysia.
So let's talk about Malaysia. It was one of our closest neighbours.
Yep.
We have a very long relationship with Malaysia.
Yep.
And you're one of the reasons why we have such high regard for Malaysia. Talk to us about coming from Malaysia.
Yep. So Malaysia is actually a very multicultural place, I would say. It's similar to Australia. But at the same time, because Malaysia is more of a Muslim-based country, but... At the same time, everyone's just able to live together. And then we have, different kind of food that we love. And then that's how, the food makes us together.
So the Malaysian indigenous culture is one thing. But what are the other cultures that really stand out in Malaysia?
So the indigenous is one of the biggest population. And then the next comes to Chinese and Indian. They are, the three biggest, races in Malaysia. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, which forms the language too, because Malaysian English, which is probably the most commonly spoken language between the groups.
And also
it's very distinctive, lah.
Mm, yeah, so you know the okay, lah. Yeah. Yeah. And because we have a mixture of all those languages. So basically, because I'm Chinese-born Malaysian, so I actually know Malaysian language, Chinese language, a little bit of my own dialect, and at the same time, English. So basically, when we talk to each other with Malaysians, between Malaysians, we would tend to mix all the language in, which makes other people think that it's very confusing.
It is.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. It's okay, la, you know.
Which is, Singapore has a very similar...
Yes, yes.
Take, because similar ethnic mix.
Yes.
Slightly different depending where you are.
Mm.
So you grew up in Malaysia and then you cast your eyes a little bit further east to the beautiful...
Country. Australia.
No, Taiwan.
Taiwan. Oh, sorry. So I've been traveled to...
So many countries in
your industry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
You're very international for a young lady.
Yeah, so I've been to Taiwan a few times.
Mm.
And most, that caught my eye was the food that they have and also, the scenery, especially, Taipei. Taipei is one of, my favourite city to travel in Taiwan. Mm.
Taiwan was never really on the tourist trail, not like Hong Kong, Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand.
Yes.
There were so many other places, and Taiwan has recently become one of the hottest parts of Asia to go to. Let's talk about that. Why has it become so cool?
I think because most of they start to promote Taiwan through media as well, where the music, the pop music, Chinese pop music is very popular from that side as well. And I think the food as well, it's actually very different from China as well. Because they're really famous with their snacks, their night markets, and a lot of shopping.
Food.
Yeah, street foods.
That's why we see them down here on Swanson Street now. Mm. Taiwanese street food.
Yeah.
Specialties and desserts.
Yes, the desserts. Do you know there's a trend right now where they have the cake and there's the pose on top together with the cheese?
No, it's more cheese. What is it with
I don't know, cheese
Taiwanese
is just a big
cheese.
Thing, right? Yeah, they always have the trend of all those weird but very...
They work.
Yeah.
They work. Mm. And so LGBTI rights in Taiwan are probably some of the most progressive in all of East Asia.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah, so have you been to the Pride?
Not really, but then I have heard about news where LGBT in Taiwan is actually a very like heavy promoter. Even the government has been supporting them, like the community, to have the rights of gay marriage and all that kind of things.
Nearly got there too, yeah. I think it will happen not too long. Not too far, yeah. And one of the biggest Pride events of the year is in Taipei.
Yes. Because Taipei is where like the most trendy and new things happen.
Yeah, it's
in
big
Taiwan.
City.
Yeah, great city.
And we have a podcast on Taiwan Pride. So
we did.
We do. So if listeners want to download the podcast,
3 months ago, I think.
Yes, I think so. A couple of months or 3 months ago.
Three or 4 months ago, we had a whole show on Taipei Pride with people who have been and really enjoyed it and were thoroughly impressed.
We've got a message, and I think I need to make a little bit of a clarification. So Brad telling us that even black tea is flavoured. The flavour depends on what your blend is, e.g. Earl Grey, English breakfast. So for you to say you don't like flavoured tea is an oxymoron.
Tea possibly, is just leaves, it is flavouring.
I really meant teas with fruity flavours. This is not what I don't like. And I don't like Earl Grey, for that matter. So
it's the bergamot
strong.
In the
It's
Earl
the bergamot.
Mm,
it's all those fruits that have been added now to black tea that I don't like.
It's so not to your taste.
So, yes, there is a flavour to black tea, clearly, but not to my taste.
Yes,
if you
tea
add
leaf
some
flavor.
Fruit. So that's my little clarification on this.
Thanks, Brad. Stefan has very firm views on French traditionalism in food, and he might be displaying himself today. Thank you very much, Brad, for letting us hear your feedback. Appreciate that on the Escape Hour.
That's great.
Let's talk about your favourite flavours, Joanne. What do you like in your tea? Or have you got a broad range for the day? Different teas for all different hours?
Yeah, I think it's more of like depends on my mood and all that kind of thing. Like when I'm into like some more like fun drink, and I'll choose like the one that has like fruit flavour that you don't like.
But that's all right.
And there's like toppings in it. It's pretty fun to have it with. But sometimes if I think like I just want something that's more simple, I'll just go with like a simple tea, like Earl Grey milk tea, or like just four season tea, and it on top with the cheese foam. That's what I like.
Okay, well, tea's originally from China.
Yes,
and
I
was
would
taken
say.
To Europe, and the Russians are big tea drinkers, the English are big tea drinkers. Yes. A lot of tea all throughout Europe, and then the West, as they colonised the rest of the world, took it with them. So tea's all over the world, originally Chinese. It was basically hot water and leaves.
Leaves, yeah.
And it's progressed so much from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where do you see the trends in tea going?
Basically because it has been like, just tea and hot tea, the hot water, as you say it. I think people just tend to play around more with like just the basic flavor that they have, and then at the same time, like they don't only just think about the fun and all that kind of thing. We start to kind of move to like where healthy and natural places. Like
less sugar,
less sugar, and
more
then
cheese.
Like more natural stuff, fresh milk instead of like artificial milk powder. Even the toppings, like we freshly cook it instead of like well made in a can and all that kind of things.
So, what are the does Gotcha do all the bubble tea additives with the?
So, like, basically for our drink, it's like every order is made freshly. So once you order the drink, and then we make like freshly from extracting the tea to like. Just brewing and adding all those sugar stuff. So every cup is fresh to make, yeah.
And so what are the additives that you use in your...
So basically we use fresh milks and like sugar cane instead of like sugar syrup and milk powder. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then with our toppings like grass jelly, puddings and all that, we freshly cook them every day.
So what are they?
So basically pudding, it's... I would say it's kind of like, you know, like a creme brulee thing, but it's... The consistency, it's more like gelatin.
So it's kind of dairy, eggy.
Yes, dairy, eggy, but then like at the same time, it's pretty
sweet.
A little bit sweet. I would say it tastes a little bit like corn. I don't know. That's how
like a corn custard.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm. Oh, Stefan's about to have corn custard tea. He's gone from one extreme to the other. And what other toppings?
So there's like the pearls, not even like the black pearl is probably like the boba, the one that everyone knows. But then now we have different kind of pearls, like golden pearls, mini pearls, where golden pearls is like honey flavored, and then it's more natural that we don't use like artificial sugar syrup, but instead we use like honey to mix with the pearls. So it's more, I would say, like, it goes on well with fruit teas.
Because that's the most
and
popular.
And, like, simple tea as well. Yes.
Every time you walk down Swanson Street, they're the pearls you're seeing at the bottom of everyone's cup.
Yeah, because people will think that, like, it's kind of weird to not have toppings with milk tea. But then,
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
We've got Joan Lu here from Gotcha Fresh Tea. So, Joan, we're talking a little bit about before the break on about Taiwan and, you know, the LGBTI in Taiwan. But the interesting thing for you is that you source all your tea from Taiwan.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So why did you decide to just go there exclusively one place?
So basically because we are able to source from Taiwan, it's because the Alishan Mountain that we have, it's actually our own farm that we are able to take all the tea leaves from there. So, because Alishan Mountain, it's actually a very high altitude mountain, and we decided to able to source from Taiwan, it's because Alishan Mountain, it's a very great place to pick like different kind of teas that are able to like keep us throughout the whole season.
So variety.
Yeah, variety. Yeah,
variety.
Yeah, and because like around like Alishan Mountain, it's where like we pick like the right altitude for the farmers to able to handpick their tea leaves. Mm. And then we are able to just have our own manufacturing place to go and like dry the tea leaves and then keep it and
like, then import direct.
Yeah, and import direct for ourselves, yeah.
So talk about the mountains in Taiwan, because most people, I think, associate Taiwan as being an island, which is mostly a city, kind of like a bit of a Hong Kong or a Singapore, where it's a very urban island. But it sounds like there's enough agriculture and mountains that people should be exploring and thinking wider than Taipei if they are travelling to Taiwan.
Yeah, so basically Taiwan is actually known for their city, like Taipei. Mm. But then, like, not even like far away from Taipei, maybe like an hour drive to 2 hours, you can just go to a small alley that's called Jiufen. It's actually a very great like old town where there's like an alleyway that you can go through and then able to try some of the snacks from Taiwan. And also,
is this like a hutong experience?
Yeah, but then they are actually known for like tea shops where they have like like the balcony on outside where you can order like the tea that you like and then just have a sip and just look at the scenery. It's very relaxing and
So a lot of traditional old Chinese architecture.
Mm.
Ah, beautiful. Yeah. I like this.
Yeah. It's like misty, cloudy, on top of the mountain, not like in a city where you have like high-rise building and all that. So it's a different kind of Taiwan.
And calm. Compared to Taipei.
Yeah.
And it's very busy.
And still snacks.
Yeah, and still snacks.
Snacks.
So like if you think that it's not the kind of like what you want, you can just go down to the alley and get some snacks.
So what's on the menu?
There's actually quite a few, like, with the desserts, from desserts to, like, savory stuff. So one of the things that I think people should go and try in Taiwan is a thing that's called stinky tofu.
Yeah.
Have you heard about it? Yeah.
No, not heard of it.
It's probably easy to convince, say, that it's Chinese name than stinky tofu.
Yeah.
Talk to us about stinky tofu.
So stinky tofu, the reason that we call it stinky is because everyone thinks that it's actually, like, it smells bad from the outside. And because, like, I don't know, personally, I love it because even though it smells bad, but once you taste it, it's actually pretty juicy and with the sauce and all that, it's fun. And
so why is it called stinky? Is it because it's fermented? Is it a bit like...
Yeah, it's fermented.
Yeah, right.
That's why it smells bad.
So, but fermented foods quite often smell and terrible, but tastes amazing.
Do you know one of the fruit that's called durian?
Yes.
It's a big thing in Malaysia.
Sadly.
It's almost the same thing. They even ban like people to get it into the bus and public transport because it's just not the...
You can't have them in hotels as well.
No.
There's big signs. I go to Thailand quite often and there's big signs in hotels.
No durian.
No durian allowed.
Because so for those of us who don't know, Joanne, explain what durian smells like.
Because I know it's a bad thing for me to say. I don't like durian as well. So it smells bad for myself. But people that like it, they would say that it's like passion fruit and mango and a creamy at the same time.
But what does it smell like?
I can tell you if you want.
Yes.
Last year at RMIT, they called the fire brigade because
I do know about that.
There's big a gas smell in one of the buildings. And it turns out it was a durian. That was
a rotting durian. It was left in a locker.
Yes.
I was at RMIT at the time, yeah.
So that's what it smells like.
My very dear friend John Tan from Singapore calls it, it's like eating custard on the toilet.
That's
his description of durian.
Yes, you agree.
I would agree with that.
So it's not for everyone.
Apparently, if you get past the smell, it's beautiful. I haven't tried it because I cannot get past the smell. But
I've got a feeling there's an expression in Singapore that it smells like hell and tastes like heaven.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that a common phrase? Yeah. Okay. So, do you do durian tea?
Yes, we do have a drink that's got durian milk, but I'm not a huge fan with that. But
is it popular? Is it a big seller?
It's very popular within Southeast Asian students and all that. They actually love it. And then top it up with cheese foam, and we have cheese foam again. And it's super creamy.
So
and
that's what I said. Does it smell like durian, or is it just the taste?
So when you make smell it, as well. Yeah, it smells like durian, because our syrup,
the durian smell, because the flavour is taste.
It's the real durian that we have in our...
Flavour is smelling, right? So you can't taste anything unless you smell it. So you'd have to smell very durian-y.
Yeah.
Does the cheese keep the durian smell down?
I think I would say not really. It actually makes it even creamier in a way.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Of course, because durian does have that kind of...
custardy
creamy. Yeah. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe you said it was durian milk tea.
Yeah, so it's durian milk, top it up with cheese foam. So,
is it just the fruit milk?
So it's basically the durian, because we had it in a syrup form where we used the real durian and mixed it together with the sugar cane that we have. It's all
so it's
natural and real fruits. Yeah, no, it's actually not a tea.
Oh.
And with the milk. Otherwise, it'll be too weird.
Wow.
I love all these creative flavours and additives. It's just fantastic how innovative. But it's become such a big deal. You see so many people wandering around the city. Who are your? What's your customer profile? Because it's certainly not just young people.
Yeah, just not young people. But then I would say mainly it's more of students, because in the city area, there's a lot of unis around. Mm. And at the same time, there's workers, young workers that they have chill with the drink during lunchtime and after working hours. So
there's a big mix of people that I've seen, because our studio here is just opposite Chinatown. So we quite often go for lunch or whatever before or after broadcasting. And you see how many tea shops have sprung up, all different varieties. And there's Japanese ones that focus on matcha. And, you know, it's such a big business and there's queues everywhere. Yeah. But the queues are very different. Just this morning I saw an African family or people with African heritage lining up. The whole family were ordering their teas and they knew exactly what they were doing.
Yeah.
This is not the first time they've been there. So it's just big mushroom to popularity.
I think people, just willing to try new things right now.
Mm.
I've missed my favourite show on Joy. What do I do? What do I do?
Podcasters to battle!
Joy podcasters fight on tirelessly to bring you the best bits of every show. So if you've missed something recently on Joy, don't worry. Our podcasters have your back. Head to joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or look us up on iTunes. Podcasters on Joy 94.9 fighting tirelessly for your listening pleasure.
Asian pop music is so huge right now, particularly K-pop and J-pop. So is that a part of your cultural referencing when you're looking at how you're putting your teas together?
Yeah, a little bit. We would be happy sometimes, because we're going to have one, Jackson. It's one of the Chinese pop very big superstar right now. And then we're going to celebrate his birthday soon as well. So it's
with a special tea?
Yeah, with a special tea, so that the fans get free drinks for that as well.
So how are you going to put his tea together? Is it durian-based?
No. So they get to choose any tea that they like.
Okay. Yeah, so he's one of the biggest Chinese pop stars at the moment, is he?
Yes. And then together with K-pop, Blackpink. Blackpink is one of my fan as well. Do you guys know that?
Blackpink?
Blackpink.
No.
No, but we do have a K-pop show on Joy 94.9 that focuses on Asian pop, mostly K-pop.
Mm-hmm.
But also J-pop.
Yeah.
I think a lot more Chinese is coming through. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, because we were talking about LGBT just now. Mm-hmm. And I think that people has been starting to kind of put on the awareness, how they like start to put on music throughout the media and saying that we're supporting and welcoming like people equality and like yeah. And especially, do you know one of the famous Chinese singer that's called Jolin Tsai?
Yes.
Yeah, like she has been like quite a while in the media. Like she has been promoting quite a few. And do you know like songs like We Are Different But the Same and then like Fantasy, like throughout the music videos that she has, she heavily promoted like it's okay.
LGBTI inclusion and diversity. Yeah. She's done a fantastic job. It's huge. And it's a big, brave message to take in communities which are still in many respects quite conservative and traditional in family values, which and they perceive LGBTI rights outside of those.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's big, and you know, that's fantastic. And do you see that as going to continue going in that direction throughout Asia?
Yes, I think like slowly by slowly. But one of the downsides were like countries that are more like Muslim based. It's pretty hard for them to kind of like get out of the belief that they have. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that we are going against it. But like people are starting to get more aware and like supportive about this.
Which is great because I mean it's a huge amount of the world's population falls within Asia. I think it's over a third, if not a half, of the souls on the planet. So there are a lot of LGBTI people who desperately need some support and recognition and some inclusion from the rest of society. But we're really here to talk about tea, not politics.
Sorry about that.
No, it's very positive. Well, I mean, as a LGBTIQ station, rights, recognition and respect are very big things for us. And it's very complex living in a world where there is quite a shift between progress that's very hard fought for and areas where there is little interest in progressing the rights of LGBTI people. Culture is one thing, religion is another, but there is it tends to be where there is less religious dogma, there is much easier road out of having so much oppression for LGBTI people. So even talking about any country, you know, there's no utopia in the entire world. But it's so positive to see so much of Asia turning around. And I think that that has a lot to do with how young Asia is and how what a youth community there is. We look at China and so many other countries where the average age is very, very low. So in Malaysia, it's a very youthful country, correct?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of people focusing on thinking outside, travelling outside, getting education outside of Malaysia.
Yes. Yeah.
Bringing that home, bringing those thoughts home. Yeah.
Mm.
Is that what you've done yourself personally?
Yeah, because like basically because I'm from Malaysia and then I traveled to I came to Australia 4 years back and I see that there's a, like a very huge difference between Australia and Malaysia because Malaysia tends to be more like conservative in terms of like the community. But then it's good that how we see the difference between Australia and then we are able to think of out of the box at the same time and then bring that back to Malaysia and then from there we kind of see like different perspective.
But it's a big two-way street. There's things you bring from Asia to Australia that's made this country so much more worthwhile living in and being a part of the community, tea being one of them. So it's become such a big cultural shift that Melbourne is a very coffee town.
Yes.
I mean, you can't argue that. But also a very Asian town. We have been for a very long time where so many fellow Melburnians have Asian heritage and it becomes a much stronger, bigger part of who we are and our cultural wealth is now being contributed to by so many Asian influences, tea being one of them. Now, where do you see this tea trend going? Because it just looks like it's everywhere. It was kind of a big bubble tea, kind of had a fad a few years ago, that faded away. But this seems to be more of a standard approach to street food. You don't do it at home, but it's something you do when you're out, right? So do you see that continuing?
Yes, I do see that continuing, and I think it will like still grow because, like, last time, like I would say, like a few years back, people already know milk tea as like a quick drink that you drink for like that you like the flavor. But then we try to promote like for Gotcha Fresh Tea, we try to promote like to let everyone know that we use like healthy and non artificial stuff for our drinks, and then make sure that it's healthy for everyone and it's natural. And from there, I think we can actually expand a lot of ideas and like fun stuff to like the community to know like milk tea is just not like milk tea that you used to know, but it's like a healthy drink that you can have it every day.
But it's a fun social drink. I see people getting it together. Getting it in a group.
Yeah, like it's kind of funny where, like, sometimes, like, I even see, like, people coming into Gotcha and then they'll be like, oh, like, only one of, like, my friends going to get one drink. And I'll be like, oh, why aren't you guys going to share it? Like, just one drink, just have one. Like, everyone will be happy, you know, and they're like, yeah.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joanne, for Gotcha Tea,
yep.
You've been really helping change the culture and how tea is consumed and how that works in Melbourne. Really, thank you very much for participating in that. But you take your travel cues yourself and you see the world through your own eyes. What is your favourite place to travel, or where is your ambition to go?
Well, I've been to quite a few countries, and, like, I think my favourite is where, like, European countries, because I'm from Malaysia, and Malaysia is, like, more Asian style and that kind of thing, so I tend to enjoy to look on, like, more westernised culture and all that kind of thing, and experience, like, different kind of how they live and all that kind of thing. So one of my favourite places is actually Italy. Have you guys been there? Yeah, because, like, the food, especially, because I'm a huge fan of the food.
And well, Italian food is popular.
Yeah, I love it. So, yeah. And one of the places that I feel like I want to go next is probably Turkey, I would say.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Turkey. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know much about it, but it's just, like, a thing that I feel like I would love
country.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, interesting history, that Eurasian history is bridged. Yeah. Two continents for so long, and it's been such a major player in world history, and fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and great beaches.
Have you been to Turkey?
No. No, not personally, but I know a lot of people who have.
Yeah, I haven't been. Yeah. It's somewhere I'd like to go, but it's somewhere I haven't got to yet. And
I've known a lot of people who have been, and none of them have expressed anything negative at all about Turkey.
No,
it's all been
so
just
really
love the experience and the people and the history.
Yes, it's on the list. There's so many places on the list.
The biggest question we ask of a guest is roll or fold?
Roll or fold? Do you mind if you...
So, we'll give you a little bit of background.
I'm sorry.
When you pack... Not when you're going to the loo.
No, when you pack for a trip in your suitcase, do you roll
your clothes,
or do you fold your clothes?
I roll my clothes because it will have more space, because, you know, girls tend to, you know, kind of pack more outfits and then have that OOTD photo every day.
What's OOTD?
So it's like, I can't remember what's, like outfit,
outfit of the day.
Yeah, that's why, like, you know, on Instagram. So you got to get that outfit.
So you got to get your influencer vibe going.
Yes.
Outfit of the day.
Outfit of the day? I've never heard of that. I'm too old, clearly.
You're clearly been showing our age now. So Turkey next, you roll your clothes, and we'll have Instagrammable photos every day of the outfits
of
the day.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for joining us on Joy 94.9. It's been absolute joy to hear more about tea. I think I might have to go and get one of those beautiful 32-degree days, Stefan.
Which
nice
is now 30.
I know, it's nearly there, but by the time we get out there, there'll be some beautiful, cool, refreshing tea somewhere here in the city of Melbourne.
Yes, I will. I'll try them.
Actually, I'm going to call you right now. We're going out to find a tea in Chinatown for you. You have to get over your phobia. Thank you for joining us on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.